Every Monday morning, we visit with our good friends. Right around this time, Matt Mikowiak, GOP political strategist, also co-founder of MustReadTexas.com. Matt, good morning. How's it going?
Hey, Chad. Doing great. How about you?
Doing all right. Appreciate you coming on Friday. We'll go back to this past Friday and the debate between Greg Abbott and Wendy Davis. You saw the debate. What were your thoughts?
Well, I thought that that Wendy not only needed a big win, she couldn't even really afford a tie. And I was really pleased with how Abbott performed. You know, to me, he was clearly more substantive. He was obviously more positive. And he looked like a governor. I mean, Greg Abbott looked like a governor, and Wendy Davis looked like a governor candidate. You know, Wendy strategically, I think, chose to continue being very negative, which she's done with her paid television ads. She chose to continue being negative in the debate itself. And, you know, that is always a dicey strategy because the more negative you are, the less you look like someone of stature who could perhaps serve in an office like governor. And it's hard to be effective delivering negative attacks in a debate because people just generally don't like negativity. So, listen, I thought Abbott was disciplined. He didn't really get into the mud with Wendy in terms of a back and forth. He was very substantive. And he had a real vision for the future of the state of Texas. So I think from my standpoint, he was great. And, you know, I'd be comfortable with 5 or 10 more debates. But at this point, they only have one more in Dallas on September 30th.
Yeah, and as I was watching the debate, I came away with two things, really, from Wendy Davis. And that was desperate and a robot.
I tweeted that, too. I mean, there was a sort of monotone and robotic and programmed quality to her cadence, to just the formulation of how she put her responses together that made it feel like she was sort of recalling from memory what she'd been told to say. Now, I don't know if that's the case, but it sort of felt that way. She didn't have a lot of emotion in terms of when she was speaking. So, you know, what's interesting about this, actually, it's a little bit goes against what you might think, but Abbott has only ever participated in one televised debate. He's had such weak opponents that he's never had a debate before, except for one occasion. And Wendy has already participated in two televised debates before Friday night, and that was in her state senate campaigns up in the Fort Worth area. So it's amazing to think that she had more experience just participating in televised debates than Abbott had going into that. But I think what you saw with Abbott is this is someone who has a judicial bearing. He's thoughtful. He takes his time. He chooses his words carefully. He doesn't overstate anything. And he's also very well prepared. I mean, you could tell this is someone who takes his time and understands exactly what the issues are and what he wants to say about it. So I think from that standpoint, again, I mean, I kind of come back, Chad, to a way that I've described Greg Abbott this entire campaign. And in my mind, he is everything you like about Rick Perry and nothing you don't. He is going to be a great governor, and I think we started to see that, and I think the statewide audience started to see that on Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the day after, of course, you had analysis from the Dallas Morning News, Houston Chronicle, Texas Tribune, just about everybody, and there were a couple of different headlines. One, that Wendy Davis's attempt in that debate was to go after women and the Hispanic vote. The other headline that you saw was Greg Abbott. He intends to go after the Hispanic vote. So both candidates, really at the end of the day, they want everybody to vote for them. But do you think in that debate, who do you think maybe reached that all-important Hispanic vote the most?
That's a good question. I mean, obviously the debate was held in Edinburgh by a McAllen Media Market TV station and the McAllen newspaper. And so, you know, it was a debate that was highly structured. They had, I think, 23 questions, which is a very large number for an hour-long debate. And I don't know, a very large number of those focused on issues that would be of interest to Hispanic Texans in the Rio Grande Valley.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of discussion of those issues. I thought, you know, look, Wendy Davis, from a strategy standpoint, with Hispanics, with women, with everyone, has tried to make Greg Abbott into a scary monster for this entire campaign. And I don't know that she's been able to do that with any great effect. And so I think as Greg Abbott, you know, talked about his wife being the first Latina first lady if he's elected, I think he actually could have spoken a little bit more about his Hispanic outreach. I mean, he announced his campaign in San Antonio. He's gone to the Rio Grande Valley 14 times in this campaign. They've done a lot of outreach down there, and I think they're going to perform very well with Hispanics. The Republican Party of Texas Chairman Steve Ministeri told me last week he expects that Abbott will, at minimum, get 40% of the Hispanic vote, which would be a huge increase.
Wow, that would be great. Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, GOP political strategist, co-founder of MustReadTexas.com. There was an Texas Tribune had their big Trib Fest over the weekend.
Yeah, I was there.
Rick Perry, he defended his stance on the in-state tuition law from back in 2001. This is the law that tripped him up when he was running for president in 2012. And it will be a player if he does, and I think he will, run for president in 2016. Where do you think how does he position this along with his other stances when it comes to immigration, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's a great question. I was struck by that. I mean, obviously that was a pressure point in the Republican primary in 2012, and obviously his heartless, quote, heartless comment is something that came back to hurt him, and he admitted that in that conversation with Devin Smith at the Texas Tribune Festival just yesterday. You know, he's not backing down. And listen, I mean, that was a bill that passed in Texas, I think, with only 4 votes against it. It was not a controversial vote at the time. It's been controversial, become controversial since then. I think from his standpoint, he feels like you can make a better argument on that issue than he did in 2012. And I think he's going to talk about the economic impact of not just of the cost to the state of providing in-state tuition, but the economic impact of not making higher education available to these people. So, look, it may be a hard argument to make in the early states, particularly in places like Iowa and South Carolina, but I think it's, you know, whatever political damage happens with the conservative base, I think you can offset that with his very strong record on border security, particularly as it relates to sending the National Guard down there, which is a move he's the only governor on a foreign border in the United States who sent the National Guard down there.
Dan Balls of the Washington Post had an interesting piece over the weekend as well. Texas has become the epicenter of the conservative movement. At the end of it, he poses the question, how will this, the conservative movement that you see in Texas, how could that translate onto the national stage? How do you think it translates with a Dan Patrick type of conservatism, a Ted Cruz type of conservatism versus a Rick Perry type? Because it is different.
Yeah, they are different. I mean, they're different shades of the same color in a way. Cruz and Patrick, I think, are probably closer to each other in terms of the way that they communicate and their views on issues. You know, Perry's pretty conservative too, though.
Oh, yeah.
This idea that he's not a conservative, I think, is a tough argument to make. He's not as conservative as Ted Cruz, I don't think. But they also have different jobs. You know, governors and senators have different jobs, and particularly when you're in the minority in the United States Senate, you can afford to be against everything. You don't have the burden of responsibility that comes when you're in the majority. And that's something I've seen having worked in the United States Senate, both the majority and the minority, over 4 years. So, look, they are different. And listen, Cruz and Perry have a very good chance. Both of them have a chance of being the nominee. Both of them have a chance of being in the final 3 or 4 candidates for the nomination. You know, I can see a path for Ted Cruz to win Iowa and South Carolina, and I can see a path for Perry to do well in Iowa and perhaps win South Carolina. So, it's going to be very interesting. It's going to depend a lot on how the field develops in terms of how many conservative candidates there are, how many establishment candidates there are, how the candidates perform in the debates, how the fundraising goes, how the organizing goes. There's a lot of variables out there. But, look, we're 6 or 9 months from this thing being kicked off. And at the end of the day, Cruz and Perry are first-tier candidates, particularly if Perry can dispose of this indictment before then, which I think he probably can.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak. Matt, before we wrap it up, you're having fun on Twitter this morning.
Yeah.
With the Davis campaign is now attacking you.
Right.
And attacking Greg Abbott at the same time. You kind of want to explain what's going on there?
maybe I'd rather not. But, the Davis campaign has done a great job of being intellectually dishonest almost the entire campaign. If you remember the attacks on people like Richard Murray and others, they generally try and take, half a sentence or part of a sentence that someone says somewhere and try and make it representative of everything else.
Yeah.
I want to be really clear. I've never been paid one nickel by Greg Abbott on the official side or the campaign side his entire career. I support him, and I'm a Republican consultant who sometimes appears on TV and on radio, but I've never been a part of his campaign. So the idea that they would try to link us over part of a sentence I said on a Dallas TV station on Sunday is a little bit sad. They're trying to make it look like I don't care about rape and incest when the abortion law that was passed makes clear that all abortions are legal until 5 months. After 5 months, during the late term phase, when fetuses can feel pain, that law outlaws abortion after 5 months, which is a view that the majority of Texans agree with. So again, you know, Wendy Davis says she's against late term abortion. Her campaign may need to talk to her about that to make sure that's still her position.
Very good. Matt, what can people find on mustreadtexas.com?
Yeah, a lot of coverage from the debate, a lot of coverage from the Texas Tribune Festival, which was very interesting over the weekend. They had great speakers, 210 speakers, 3,000 attendees. A lot of coverage from both those events as the campaign goes on. Mustreadtexas.com.
All right, Matt Mikowiak, thank you very much.
Thanks, Chad. Take care.
You too. All right, you can follow him on Twitter in the fun that he's having today on Twitter, at Matt Mikowiak. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.